Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is program number 493. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want CD or audio tape. They're free, including the postage and handling. I've got some Bible reading for you tonight, today, this morning, whatever, letters, music, and a powerful, total powerful message from the Lord. We have all these things for you, but now let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, anoint this program, anoint me, and anoint everyone that reads. And Lord, we pray that everything will be totally yours, that the people in the world that are unsaved will be able to understand and receive you, and that those that are in the body of Christ, who Satan has is constantly attempting to plug their ears up so that they cannot hear the truth, but they love a fallacy, falsehoods, heresy, iniquity. Lord, bind Satan and let people not be offended, because your word says, blessed are those that are not offended in what you say. Lord, you're not so concerned about people being offended. People are offended at your word, and that is like an abomination to you. But blessed are those that are not offended with your words, with your instructions to eternal life. Rebuke Satan, Father God, constantly rebuke him on our behalf. Open up great doors for finances so we can get the gospel out throughout the world, Pastor, more efficiently, more expeditiously. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for every person that is in the body of Christ, that you will make a way for them, and that you will give them encouragement, and that you will give them more finances and good health, and that you will do the same for those that are going to receive you. Lord, open doors, open their minds, their hearts, their souls, their spirits to receive you in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. By popular request, we have Mario Lanza to sing Guardian Angels. This is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my entire life. And it was written by Harpo Marx, one of the Marx brothers. It's just amazing that somebody that acts as kooky as he does in movies, that he should write something. But I've learned a long time ago that most comedians have the most tragic lives. And I really picture that Harpo and his brothers were tucked in at night by angels, that the Lord gives them a special favor, because they weren't the most beautiful people in the world, but the Lord saw this man's heart. And you can tell what a beautiful heart he had by this song. This is Guardian Angels by Mario Lanza.
Guardian angels around my bed, joining me in my prayers. They hush the shadows when they dance about. They shoo away the bears. Guardian angels to comfort me if I wake in the night. They gather all my dreams, their halos are my light. They dry my tears if I should weep. They tuck me in, they rouse me from my sleep. guardian angels around my bed, standing by till I rise. There's one with shining wings who holds my hand and shows me paradise.
Guardian angels around my bed, shining in my prayers. They hush the shadows when they dance about. They shoo away.
Guardian angels to comfort me if I wake in the night, they gather all my dreams, their halos are my light, they dry my tears if I should by till I rise. There's one with shining wings who holds my hand and shows me
praise the Lord. What a beautiful song. This is Tenor Night on my program. We have for you at the end of the program Rovan, who to me was the very best opera singer in the world. Now, so don't get angry at me. You may have yours, and I have mine. I'm the one that did the promotion for him. He's going to be singing for you the Lord's Prayer at the end of the program. We have some letters. Where's the first one from?
From Volta Region, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, I am as glad as I can be due to your kindness to us. How is your condition of health, and how is the congregation doing? I hope everything is well with you by God's grace. Amen. Pastor, I am very thankful for the literature and the Holy Bibles, as well as the Messiah books that you have sent to me. May the Almighty bless you to live a long life. Pastor, the items sent to me mentioned above have been distributed by me and two Christian friends of mine. We were preaching and distributing the literature and the Messiah books, and we won many souls, and I'm happy to say that we are developing rapidly, and now we have numerous members. Pastor, while we were distributing the items, we came across some devoted people who were baptized after a three-day crusade held at Vakbo. They want to help distribute the literature to share the word of God with the unsaved people. Pastor, kindly remember them in your prayers that they may be able to withstand the task and to fulfill the assignment from our Lord Jesus Christ all the days of their lives. Amen. Pastor, I need the following literature. Please, Mass Suicide, Dry Bones, Beware of Receiving Blessings from the Vatican, and some Messiah books and Holy Bibles. Pastor, I thank you for taking the time by reading through these words of mine. May God bless you with a long, prosperous life. Amen. I send warmest greetings from your congregation here in Ghana to you, your friends, and your Christian workers. May the Almighty be with you until we meet one another in heaven. Amen. A servant of Christ, Emmanuel, from Volta Region, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord, Emmanuel. We definitely supply everything that the Lord allows us to give you, and He allows us to give you everything that we have. All right, and then you have another letter.
Yes, from Quintana Roo, Mexico.
You have more than this, if we had time.
Yes.
How many more?
Yes, many. I have a whole stack.
a stack doesn't tell. Do we have like hundreds of them?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. A whole stack could be 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 100 or 1,000. So we have to explain ourselves better if we want to be in the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Brother Tony, God abundantly bless your ministry and family. I would like to request for you to send me your valuable world newsletters. Gerardo Morales held a campaign. It was a great success and many were saved. The evangelist distributed your world newsletters. I took one and I really liked the contents of it. I would like to ask of you a donation if it is within your ability to please send me your literature as well so that I may be able to distribute it in the suburbs of this city. This is all for the moment. I thank God for your amiable attention. God keep blessing you with your ministry. Attentively, Pastor Pablo from Quintana Roo, Mexico.
Sharon, now do you have some scriptures from where? The 5th chapter of Matthew?
Yes.
All right, and we're on verse, what, 9?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Okay, continue to finish it.
For they shall be called the children of God.
Right. Okay, the peacemakers. A lot of people think, first of all, the Bible says, when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. This is when the secular world is saying, we're advancing towards peace, when everything is becoming more and more intensified. That is the plagues that I'm talking about from the Lord. They're becoming more and more intense. And it's not going to get any better. You're going to see more and more plagues on the earth. And so when we're saying peace, and the Bible is saying peace, that means blessed are the peacemakers, those that recruit people into the body of Christ. That is to recruit people to be the bride of Christ, because the bride of Christ is many members. And before we know Christ, we have no peace whatsoever. I remember before I was saved, I had no peace whatsoever. Every place I looked, I saw things that were evil, vicious, ugly. And I was extremely depressed with the things of the world. Yet I was able to face them without being on drugs and without being on alcohol or anything like that, but I was getting more and more bitter every day. And then one night when I received the Lord, became saved. I felt so much peace. So it wasn't anyone that led me to the Lord. Although many times the Lord uses many people that are witnesses that are on the streets or that they are in your life some way that leads you to the Lord. And when the Lord enters into you, then you have the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom in your soul, and that's when you become satisfied with your position in eternity, because we don't receive eternal life when we go into eternity. We receive eternal life here. So we possess immortality, eternal life, when we're here on earth, and it's the most precious gift, the most precious thing that could ever enter into your life or to possess. And it just brings so much joy in your life, because in a world of turmoil, all kinds of tragedy, it's just innumerable, the amount. And all the violence and the sin, to have peace in your soul, to know that you've been cleansed from your sins, and to know that your conscience no longer convicts you of sins that you have committed in the past. And now you have immortality. So a peacemaker is one that leads people to the Lord, to where they have that peace. Because there is no peace given to you by secular government. They may lay off of you for a while, but you still are in apprehension of what they might do in the future. So blessed are those that appropriate the wife of Christ, Because Christ is one person, and all the people that are born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood, baptized in water, and baptized later, hopefully, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these people are one body with Christ. And anyone that is not in that one body of Christ are in the body of Antichrist. Now, many that are in the body of Antichrist don't want to be in the body of Antichrist, but that's why we need, God needs witnesses to tell people about peace. Peace that passes all understanding, and that's peace in the Lord. So there is no other peace in the world because, as I said, the Bible states that things will wax worse and worse in the world. And when you see it's like a tree, when a bud springs forth on it, a fruit tree, and you see this bud, and then later on there's a flower, there's a bud, and then there's the fruit. Well, you can tell, the Lord said, when the end of time is coming by the signs. Now, Isaiah 53 is the most weighty. There's more prophecies regarding the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into the world. And it just tells one thing after that he's cut off for the sins of the world. And why the Jews missed that, I have no idea, other than that the Lord said that he'd shut their eyes and cover them with blindness because they said, let his blood be upon us and our seed. So, but now in the last days, he said there'd be many that would their eyes would be opened, then they'd receive the peace of the Lord. And we have on television now several rabbis that are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another sign of the coming of the Lord, because the Lord said that just before he comes back to earth again, he'd save 144,000 of Jews. 144,000 Jews, and he mentions 12,000 from each one of the tribes. And we have, those people have peace on earth, and they have goodwill towards men. Their will is the Father's will, that their souls would be saved and that they would receive peace from the Lord. So blessed are those that see things the way the Lord sees them. He wants people to have peace on earth, but not the way that the secular government is trying to put it together, saying, if you don't do this, we're going to bomb you. That isn't the way that people receive peace. They get more and more angry because you're murdering. These secular people are murdering their children, their wives, their husbands, their grandmothers and fathers, and their all their loved ones, their friends. So how could anyone have, or even think, other than the devil, that peace could be brought about by war and by threatening people? The Lord doesn't threaten any people at all, other than to tell them if they don't get saved, they themselves are sending their souls to hell and then the lake of fire. And so that should be enough motivation for people to get saved, to receive peace from God. Because if your conscience is convicting you, well, then you're in a lot of trouble. And this doesn't happen overnight, you know. Like some people think that there's some sins that aren't as weighty as others. But when Judas Iscariot began to play with sin, he liked to play around with sin because he thought it was cute or something. So when he began to play with these, the Ten Commandments of the Lord, I doubt whether he meant to turn become a traitor at that time or not. No, his treason was a punishment for his thievery. He was a thief. Just like a liar, they think that there's no punishment for lying. What's a little lie or a big lie or a medium-sized lie? So just like a liar has punishments. But what they don't realize is that the punishments, the reason for the punishments are because they lied. Some people think they're smarter than God, that the Ten Commandments are nothing, that it doesn't mean anything if you lie or cheat or steal or commit fornication. They think that fornication and adultery is a worse sin than lying. But when the Bible says that no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven and that all liars shall spend eternity in the lake of fire, the lake of fuego, why do they think that it's a worse sin than fornication or adultery? But people that lie will eventually commit adultery and fornication because they're liars. They've already broken all the laws of God. There's no peace in them at all anymore. They hang themselves like Judas Iscariot did. They think there's not any punishment for that. So they play around lying, and they lie at will because there's no conscience in them. They're conscience seared. In other words, they're covered up. That part of the commandments are covered up. And so when they think they can get by with that, well, then they go on to what they consider bigger and better things. It's like we do a lot of rhinestoning when we were doing the jackets years ago. These rhinestone jackets that I did, which a lot of movie stars like Brooke Shields and Dolly Parton and many others have worn, we put little holes, little tiny holes, and chalk marks where the rhinestone goes through. We never glued our rhinestones on. Everything was quality. They have backings on them, and you push the hole through. Well, the little hole first, and then the big hole goes in. So, as I said yesterday in the message, that people think they can get away with lying, which they think is a little sin, but it's still one of the Ten Commandments, that you shall not bear false witness. So after he lied, he was a thief, he allowed himself in a secret sin. He went without Jesus, as though he didn't think Jesus, that God was watching him. He went and sold the Lord Jesus Christ and God gave him up to one more open and horrid sin. So he hid the fact that he was a thief, but there was no hiding the fact that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that it would be better that he had never been born. Amen?
Yeah.
Because to suffer in hell. Now, you know, there's people that die in plane crashes, and some of them look like they were near crashes, and there was chaos. For instance, you know, there's terrorists that are in airplanes, and they just make people go through what they think is a living hell, and they torture them, and they kill some of them up there if they start getting cute. And then they dive the planes into the World Trade Center or into the Pentagon, or they bum rushed him out near Cleveland or wherever it was, and the plane crashed. But in the interim, they were going through what they thought was a living hell. But if they're not saved, what they will go through after the plane crashes and kills every one of them is nothing if their souls are in hell. And number two, the answer, do you suppose the answer could be, which actually is impossible, to take one sin into your heart, into your spirit, into your soul, your bosom, and shut out all the rest? Yet the word of God will tell you that you are a servant to that one sin. And you think it's one sin, but it's like if you break a piece of china or chip part of it off, the china's ruined, or the whole thing is ruined, the whole cup or the plato, the plate. So you are a servant to that one sin. And, but you cannot be so. It can't be that way. Do you think you can commit one sin and be not guilty of all the others? The Bible says if you commit one, you're servant to all the others. And a servant to God, at the same time, do you think that can happen, that you can be a servant of sin and also a servant of God? If you're a liar, you're not a servant of God. You're a liar. You're a servant to Satan. You would be a servant to that one sin. His servant, quote, his servant you are, to whom you obey. Now, if the time, that's Romans 6:16. Chapter 6, verse 16. So if you think that you can follow Satan in one point and still be a servant of the Lord, you're spiritually crazy. You're also crazy in the flesh. Because the Bible says you're a liar if you believe that you can commit one sin and not be guilty of all. If you're a liar and you don't confess your sin, you're lost. Consequently, the devil's servants, whose kingdom you endeavor to hold up by defending it, but this one little castle, this one little fortress that you live in that is against God, your maker. Nothing. God doesn't mean anything to you. You're a lie, defending your own self, defending your integrity. Is far more important than you defending the gospel. Because just as sure as the Lord made little and big green apples, if you break one sin, then you make room for the entire law to come into you. Some people start smoking pot, and then it builds up to where they think it's okay, which the Bible says you're not to be drunk. And anyway, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so you then start taking cocaine and other stronger drugs. So there isn't anything that will excuse you to say, thou intendest not to do so. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to sin. But you do it anyway. Happily, covetousness is your sin and is your profit, your gain, you think, if you covet something. If you think that you're jealous or you're envious of somebody, nobody can stand against envy, you weasel. And you think that it's your profit if you steal something or you gain something that isn't yours. At not siding, and you think that you're not siding with the devil against God? No, you are defending Satan, the devil. So this is not your express end who sins, yet it is the end of sin which you committed and of Satan that puts you upon that work of sin. He puts you there, and so you're his servant. And if you're the servant of Satan, do you not think that you're going to gain Satan's kingdom for it? Do you think that you're going to receive the kingdom of God? How could the kingdom of God that comes without observation be living in your spirit if you're a servant of Satan? Because you're overcome by lying and stealing and envy and adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism. These are all obvious sins that the Bible, the Word of God, God Himself condemns, and condemns you for living in that castle, because you're defending Satan, not the gospel, and you've been called to defend the gospel and to hate evil, to hate Satan. But you think that because you talk with a very passive voice, or you laugh a lot and smile a lot, especially at the opposite sex, that the Lord doesn't see that? You do all sorts of sins in private, and you think that the Lord doesn't see you. You're more conscious about people seeing you than being worried or that the Lord is seeing you. But please believe the Lord, and my witness of it, that the Lord sees all your secret sins, and they'll be shouted to the housetop, because when you commit one sin, eventually you're going to commit them all. Now, a liar will eventually commit adultery and a fornication. As a matter of fact, they do all day long. And they think the Lord doesn't see that, but the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is a candle that's lit inside of you, like a 1,000-watt light bulb inside you. It puts you, and the Lord puts you, and He knows that He puts you. He knows He's got you. Oh, a lot of people say, well, the Lord says He's got you, you know. Oh, the Lord doesn't do stuff like that. The Bible says that He does. He sees everything that we're doing. Well, I don't like being monitored that much. Well, then you tell that to God and see what He says about it. He doesn't care what you think, especially when you choose to think evil. He's got your number. And if you think your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're wrong. He blots it out. Somebody just wrote in and says, well, I got saved in prison, and when I got out, I committed fornication. I had sex. I had drugs. I had all this stuff. I'm afraid that I'm not going to heaven. Do you think I'll go to heaven or not? Well, the Bible says that all fornicators, all adulterers, all people that are drunkards, they're not going to heaven. They're going to be in the lake of fire. So what do you want me to tell you, that I'm going to be one of these soothsayers out in the world that will tell you smooth things because you did something and now you're being plagued with your conscience? Your conscience is pointing its bony finger at you and telling you that you're a liar, that you're a fornicator, that you're on drugs. Now, if you did it ignorantly and that your real purpose now is to serve the Lord, it's a strong possibility that the Lord would forgive you if you continued on that way. But if you think that you can get by saying, oh, I slipped, Lord, and you do it again, forget it. The Bible says there's no more forgiveness for you. So it depends on you if you're going to do it. So the reason for it is because it puts you right smack dab in the middle of the devil's work. So, you will be charged upon those sins on the last day. Now, let's cut. But if you have peace, if you keep the commandments, if you confess your sins, then you'll be forgiven. But not those kind of, if you live in sin, like the Catholics do, and they go out and murder somebody, they come and say, oh, Father, I murdered somebody. Can I be forgiven? Yeah, go down to the altar and say a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers and light a few candles and give us $500,000 or $1,000,000, whatever you got. How much you got? How much you got, they want to know. I've been in Catholic homes when I saw a priest come over and start raising all kinds of cane because the man didn't get his check in and wasn't able to give some money to him. And this was years back. I've had a lot of experience in my 73 years here on earth, and I've seen things like that. If you think that you're going to get by with something, and you deliberately are going to a church that forgives sin of murder and rape, you see that the Vatican does forgive their people, but you see them in the court system taking people that are not Vaticanites to court and to task for things much less than what they're doing. Like, for instance, there'll be this football or basketball player that was fighting dogs. And they just say that's the most horrible thing. And yet the government, the international government, is murdering millions of people by bombing them and murdering them for nothing. Instead of praying to God, Lord, let's make peace with these people by preaching the gospel to them. No, they want to bomb them. And so they're more guilty than any other person that they're running before your eyes in the media, saying that they are doing this and that, and they're giving them like 80 to life in prison for much less than what the International Roman Catholic Vaticanite government is doing. All right, we have some more from chapter 5 in the book of Matthew, Beatitudes. Go ahead.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Yeah, in other words, righteousness, because righteousness is that you're uncovering sin. You're telling people in the world what sin is, and because of it, and then you're preaching the gospel to other people, and they're coming to the Lord. You're giving out Bibles, and you're giving out literature, and you're exposing the Vatican by telling everybody that it's a cult because its leader says that he's God. And he is no God at all. He's not even of the Lord. He's of the devil, the Bible says, because he's the one condoning all the sin that's in the world today. And he himself is a homosexual, which the Lord hates. This is a vile, wretched sin in the eyes of the Lord. And they say they were born that way, but they're not. It's a demon possession, and this demon possession can be cast out of homosexuals, adulterers, fornicators, liars, and all the other sins. People that are not merciful, that's a sin, to not be merciful, to not be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker so you can see God. You don't want to see God, huh? Well, you're going to see him whether you like it or not, but the Bible says that you're not going to like it when you see him, because he's a God of his word. When he tells you that you go to hell for fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, lying, liars, all liars, because that's one of the most sinister sins, because if they'll lie about something else, they'll eventually lie about you, even if you are the greatest soul winner in the world. Their very life is geared to get information on you and to twist the information to the point to where people believe that. And you know, in the church, that we take in people all the time. Whenever they say, "Yes, Lord, we will serve you," I take them in, and so many of them are just so used to lying that they don't think there's anything wrong with it. And so they just, or they want to use the church as a crash pad. They say, "It's cold out here. We're not here in the church." They'll tell people in their confidence that we're really not here to serve the Lord. We just want to get out of the cold. And we want to have the good meals that you serve there. And a lot of people believe that people are only here because that's their goal for the food. Well, we do have good food. We have very good food, but we're not using that as an enticement to bring you into the church. I just believe on serving people as though I were serving the Lord, because that's what the Lord tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
And to treat people as though they are of the Lord. And yet the people in the church do not treat people in the church that way. All they're here for is the phonies, is to gratify themselves. That's what it's all about. They just want to know, what can the Lord give me instead of what can I do for the Lord to bring about his bride? Well, anyway, what's the next verse?
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, righteousness being that I'm doing what I do. And of course, people tell one lie. It's said that you can lock against a thief, or you can lock your doors and everything, but what can you do about the liars out there? That they just make up whatever they want, and because they want people to think that you know me. They know me, and they don't know me at all. And when, you should know a person by the work that they do. If they're soul winners and people are getting saved, then you shouldn't get it into your mind that they're all the things that people say they are. They said that Jesus was a bastard. But Jesus was no bastard. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit. You say that about Jesus and you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And if you say that his power to win souls and to raise people from the dead and all the other things that he healed on them, that was of the devil, then you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that sin here in this world or in the world to come. So who are you? What are you? But a liar. You're a filthy liar, and you don't think there's going to be any retribution for that. But there is the day of judgment. Or you lie about the things. You'd never confess the things that you've done. But you lie and say, I never did anything like that. When it's so obvious that you did, that it's a joke. It would be a joke if it weren't so tragic, an ending. At the end, it's not going to be funny. It's not going to be a joke to you. So, yes, we do, because we put a spotlight on the things that you're doing wrong so that you can repent of them. But instead of repenting them, it offends you that the Holy Spirit condemns such a thing that you are doing. Yes, the Lord does condemn it, and that's why all the more you should get rid of that sin so that you're not judged for it at the end of your life. Okay, the next one, please.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Falsely. Yeah, blessed are we when you do all those things. You're causing us to have a blessing on my life. And anyone else that you're falsely accusing. But what you're doing is condemning yourself. And finally, at the judgment bar of God, when your soul is cast into hell, because all liars shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian liar, or you won't even admit that you're a liar. You just remain silent, thinking that you're deceiving me. Or deceiving whoever you're being silent to. But the Lord, what you're doing is screaming to the Lord, I'm a liar. And he knows it, but you don't repent of it. You don't confess it. Okay, then what?
Rejoice and be exceeding glad.
I'm exceeding glad when people persecute me. Do you think if it bothered me that much, I wouldn't be in the ministry anymore because they've been lying about me for 43 years. It started out that I was all kinds of things. I was a homosexual. Then all of a sudden they say I have 100 wives. Make up your mind, liars. Amen?
Amen.
Make up your mind. I've never been a homosexual. Never was. It's the most detestable thing in the world. It makes my skin crawl to think that I could even touch a male, some man's flesh, with my hands. I don't even like to shake, hands with men. Okay, but now all of a sudden I'm a pervert, that I've just got 100 wives. They even said in prison where it's so hard to get in because of security, they said there was 100 females that were singing songs to me by my jail cell window. Well, the guards laughed at that one because they know that never happened. Amen? I was in jail for a false charge of IRS charge that I... didn't file income taxes. But I did. And the first time I did was when they went and made up all these rules. They pulled people out of prison. They threatened people to say things that were false about me. And some of the people did. So the Bible says that people would betray one another in the last days. and that the parents would rise up against the children, and the children would rise up against their parents and lie. And that's why the Lord says you're going to hell if you lie about somebody. And especially when you don't even know them. You've never met them. You don't know anything about them. You're believing homosexuals. And the Bible says the homosexual is going to hell. And you're believing Antichrist government officials and the lying news media. You know, when I was in jail waiting for my trial on these false charges, the police officers, the sheriffs, were so angry at the media. He says they can't tell the truth if you put a pistol at their heads. They're liars. They were acting more angry than I was. I said, well, what did they say that was wrong? Man, we did an interview out there, and they didn't even mention anything we said. They said exactly the opposite. I said, well, tell me about it, guys. Tell me about it. Okay? And so the guy says, all right. They're just boiling. You could tell their faces were red because they were so angry at the way that the media lies. How you can believe anything these people, they just want to get a story, they don't care if it's right or wrong, they just want to get it to the newspaper or on TV as soon as they can before the deadline. And everybody that's in the know knows these things. It's obvious that most of the world is not in the know. But they support liars, and they lie all the time, and they lie about people not caring what kind of persecution the people are going to go through because of their lies, and therefore God just sends them to hell because they sent their own souls there. They send their souls to hell. I've had people say that so many lies about me, it's unbelievable. That's why if anyone even hints about that in my house, I put them out. They're filthy, filthy liars. And that, you know, so it's not going to hurt me. I'm supposed to rejoice when this stuff happens. What's happening is there's a very big blot on their soul for that. Okay, what else, Sharon?
Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Yeah, I get a great reward for all the lies. Keep telling more lies about me, you flaky people out there. I would prefer that you get saved. But if you want to keep lying about me, you're just putting more stars in my crown in heaven. Then what?
For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Yeah. That's right. What the Lord says is right. It's true. And if you think otherwise, you're a liar. Then what else?
Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt...
Salt meaning you make a difference in the world because you preach the gospel. You are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but he said that his disciples, when allowing him to live his life out in and through you, you also are the lights of the world. Then what?
But if the salt have lost his savor...
Yeah, the salt means you don't have any spice in you. The Lord expects you to have supernatural emotions, that you get angry at satanic things. And he hates a person that is so limpid and lukewarm that they don't, nothing bothers them, whether anyone sins or whether they don't. Those are sinners in the first degree because they are not angry at Satan as the Lord is. The Lord is, we're to be like him. And we will be like him if we're going to be in heaven. And if you're just passive, that's like disgusting to the Lord. It's like vomit to the things that he says to do. Read that again.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor.
If you don't have natural affections. The Bible says in the last days the people will not have natural affections. I mean, they don't get angry at Satan. They never get angry. They think that by being lukewarm and placid and disgusting and not being upset with the things that are being done in the world, like the persecutions of people, like the bombings, the wars, and all these things, that they join in with it because be proud to be an American. You're not an American anymore. You're part of the international satanic Roman Catholic Antichrist government. Don't you know that there's no more U.S. Constitution? You're living under international Roman canon law. And they don't mind me saying that because they think that I'm hyping you into believing that that's the thing that you should. I'm not saying you should do that. You should absolutely not believe that way. You should not believe as they do and do as they do. You must do what the Lord says, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what else?
But if the salt have lost his savor...
And if you're not going to be angry at Satan and to bless the people that are really winning souls and that are really doing God's work, then what?
Wherewith shall it be salted?
Yeah, where are you going to make any difference in the world? If you're just lukewarm and everything and just say, well, I'm just passing through... What a waste. Well, I see my time is up. Mark that place in the scriptures, and we'll take this up again mañana, tomorrow, when I bring a message. Now, the thing to do is to rightly divide the word, learn what it really says. And to start out before you can really know what the Bible says, you must be born again of the Spirit. And the way you do that is to start out by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, now, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of you, Father, of the living God, and I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with your Father, by the Spirit, Holy Spirit. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says that all who come unto the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, I know those of you that really sincerely said that prayer, you're saved. And you should just praise and thank the Lord and give him all the glory. Because it's his word that I explained to you and told you of. And Sharon, so just keep praising the Lord the rest of your life now. And Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of this program, number 493. Please specify again whether it's a CD or an audio tape that you want. They're absolutely free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. In 1967, the Lord put me down. He really put me down because I was a pretty cocky guy. And he had me... running with Susie, I got saved, and he said, no more of this big-time Charlie stuff. From now on, now you go get a job. So Susie found a job over at this Z, or third-rate motel in Las Vegas, and we were to run a wedding chapel there called Cupid's Wedding Chapel. And so I managed the place. I was the maid. I made the beds, cleaned the bathrooms and everything because Susie wasn't that strong. And they came to me with this singer named Rovan, Norman Kay, who was one of the Norman Kay. He was with the Kay Trio, the Mary Kay Trio. And he's one of the biggest real estate people in Las Vegas to even this day. His son runs it now. And he brought me this singer, Rovan. And so he wanted me to do a promotion for him. And Susie said, do it because a lot of people think you're crazy because you left such a phenomenal career in the record and motion picture industry. And now do this promotion. I didn't want to do it, but I said, so if the Lord wants me to do it, I'll do it. So I took him, this opera singer, and it was the best I ever heard of my life, even Caruso. And so I got him with RCA Victor, and made him the star of the Dunes Hotel at the Casino de Paris show. He was the star over a cast of 100 people from Paris. And here he is to sing the Lord's Prayer, Rovan.
Rovan. deliver us from evil, for thine